sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills. Lady Reverend Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Lady Reverend Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
I want to speak about love not the world. Love not the world. Amen. Exodus 20:17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Anything that belongs to your neighbor. Amen. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. What does it mean to covet? To have a strong desire for something. We even came on this planet. And says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife and husband. Amen, ladies. Because you see your neighbor's husband, say, fine man. Amen. Say, I wish I was married to him. Oh, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that if his wife dies, or if his wife were to die, maybe I could marry him. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. It means that your neighbor is married, and maybe you are also married, but you are not looking in your soup. You're looking at your neighbor's wife, and you are admiring things about your neighbor's wife, and that makes you feel more that you are at a loss, and your neighbor is blessed. If I had married this man, I'll be happier. If I married this man, I'll have more. If I had married this man, it would have been easier. You know, and some of the things, there are some way we can't own up to them, but the Holy Spirit is working in us. Amen. Your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's marriage, your neighbor's relationship, your neighbor's anointings, your neighbor's giftings, your neighbor's position in life, and perhaps in ministry. Amen. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his ox, female servant, male servant. Is it possible? Sometimes people covet people's workers. Oh, I wish I had people working for like this. A wish is okay, but covetousness goes to a place where you are now jealous and envious that you are not the one, but it's the person. And when it is reached that place, then don't say, oh, I'm just admiring a nice thing. It's not true. We have crossed a certain barrier. Amen. And we have gotten to a certain place. And when we read 1 John 2, we all have flesh, and we all have eyes, and we all see what life can offer. So the lust of the eyes have their own lust. The eyes, when they see things that glitter, that shine, and that's why we are told all that glitters is not gold. Because we are so drawn what glitters and what looks so attractive, that sometimes the things we sacrifice to get those things is not the best. Amen. You shall not covet your neighbor's servant. God knew that if he says your neighbor's house will grow wild on other things. So he's telling us all the examples properly. Female servant, male servant. And then your neighbor's ox. Because those times there are no cars. But these are like beasts of burden. It means your business has expanded and it has done well. And you don't see why your neighbor should have it. Why not me? If he had met me earlier, he would have fallen in love with me instead. The way, you know, the way I can see that he regrets that he didn't meet me earlier. It's just chance. It's just chance. Your neighbor's ox. And then what else? Your neighbor's donkey. Hey, God is showing us the things. Your neighbor's donkey. Or anything that belongs to your neighbor. We are told in law that when you are drafting a law, you must think like a bad man. To see all the things that the bad man would like to do. And then you cover it with a law. And if you are not sure that you have covered everything, you must always have a last general clause that says that anything not mentioned in this law, but that looks like this, is covered. And so God put this last thing that anything that is thy neighbor's. Amen. And in the Bible, we see many examples of how Satan comes in and uses these various desires to derail us. And the Lord is helping us. Amen. The Lord is saying, love not the world. It means you can choose what you love or who you love. Amen. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay, let's look at our various lusts and lures. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. The first person in this world to experience 1 John 2:15 was not even Jesus Christ, it was Eve. And since Eve means mother of the living, so any living person, living, you have that trait, Adamic and Evic traits. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Mercy. When the woman saw, when women see is deadly. And what women see is deadly. When the woman saw. Amen. So what we see really influences us. And what you see does not always come with explanation or background history. So it's just what you see. But somehow, what you see just affects you. When she saw that the tree was good for food, God had given them every tree on this planet. But everything was good in the garden. You know, but often, we desire that which we think we lack. And we think that that which we lack is very precious. And that is subtracting something from us. So even though God gave the whole tree, the whole garden, everything, birds, animals, everything, including Adam, that one thing that we don't have, that one thing that he has said that I'm keeping for myself, you put aside everything you have, and that one thing, when she saw, and just seeing brings an evil focus so that she couldn't even tell herself, oh, but I have every tree. And I have everything. And really, nothing is being withheld from me. And really, the way I'm seeing things is not. She couldn't even analyze. Because we are so moved by our emotions. When she saw, and Satan knew it. That's why he had a conversation and then led her to it. So after the conversation, you are programmed. And then when you see, the stage begins to be set for whatever there is. When she saw that the tree was good for food. She had food. How many of us can eat from every tree? Huh? Today, maybe this afternoon, you ate of three trees. Kontomre, yam. Three trees. And look at how full and dull you become. When she saw that it was good for food, you have food in abundance. Even fish, birds, things that maybe are even more than trees. It's good for food, but you don't need it. It's good for food, but you are not lacking anything by not having that tree. Hallelujah. When she saw that it was good for food, the Lord should have mercy on us. And that it was a delight to the eyes. We like things that are a delight to the eyes. It's not everything that's a delight to the eyes. Some things are horrible to the eyes. And some things the eyes will just turn away from it. But when she saw that it was good for food and a delight. Delight. And you just some happiness to the eyes. When the eyes see it. And who doesn't like nice things? No, somebody was asked, why did you join the church at the Kodesh? She said, well, who doesn't like nice things? That's the answer. Why she joined the church at the Kodesh. Amen. So you are welcome to the church. Is this your first time? Yes. Oh. So what made you join the church? Because then you can learn what draws people to the church. Who doesn't like what's nice? That's the reason I joined the church. It was a delight to the eyes. Hallelujah. It was good for food. And it was a delight. Let me ask you, what are the things that are a delight to your eyes? Not that you can't afford it, but chale. Delight to the eyes. Sometimes it's for somebody, but delight to the eyes. So in the end, that person is even annoying you. You see the person, you are some way, you have an attitude. After you've passed by the person, you see that something in your heart is not happy. Then you say, why am I not happy? Says, this person I saw. You came to the wedding and it was a delight to the eyes. And you were not happy. You saw a husband and a wife flowing and it was a delight to the eyes. Say, why can't I also have this? Why should she? Why her? Why not me? The sins of Eve, a delight to the eyes. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise. You see, the devil told her that if you eat of it, you will become like God. But she was already like God. Because the Bible says he created us in his image. Male and female made he them. She was already in the image of God. But because she was concentrating on what she thought she didn't have, she was not fulfilled in what God had given her. The serpent, rather, was not in the image of God. But you, Eve, you were in the image of God. But you look at the tree, you say, it's good for food. You say, oh, it's desirable. You say, oh, it's a delight. But those are not the reasons why you should let yourself go. You see, sin is in stages. So you see it is good for, it's good for food. The second one, delight to the eyes. Desirable. Then you cross to make one wise. The Bible says that we are made in the image of God. And God was the epitome of wisdom. But she thought that I'll be like... Satan says that the reason why God is telling you not to eat this tree is because he's afraid that you'll become like him. And in the day that you become like him, he will have a challenger. And that's what he doesn't want. And we fall for the deception fully, because by that time, our sensual things are full blown. And we don't have the grace... Or even if we have it, we can't use the grace to return. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh, desirable. And then to make one wise, the pride of life, to be like God. To be like God. I want to be in charge of my own life, to make my own decisions. I don't want a God whose ways I don't understand. I don't want a God who does things in ways that I don't approve. So if I will be like God and I can choose, okay, I want to have 2 children. I'm God. I speak and it happens. I want to get married to this person. I speak and it happens. I want to die at this age. I speak and it happens. Then it will be nice to be God. But it's also a responsibility to be like God. The whole world. Have you watched something almighty? Bruce Almighty, where he has to answer all the prayers of the world. It's not easy. And we want to play God. And the 3 things that 1 John 2:15 talks about is seen in the Garden of Eden. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Let's go on. The Lord is helping us. Genesis 13:10. And then when we take that apple that we shouldn't take, we also give to people around us. You see, and she gave her husband, and he ate. Unfortunate. I find this phrase so unfortunate. She gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. At least Adam, ask a few questions. Now, oh, Eve, is this not what God said we shouldn't eat? Is it, but an apple in the hands of a woman. She has brought the forbidden fruit. There's no resistance whatsoever. There's no remembrance of God's word. You just take it and you eat it because it's garnished and well served. God have mercy. Genesis 13:10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan that was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Verse 13. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. Lot is also being led by what he sees. He looked at the garden and said, oh, it's well watered. I don't know whether they are snakes. That one, I've not checked it out. I don't know whether they are scorpions. That one, I don't think it's a big deal. It just looks well watered. Whether it means I'm cheating Abraham, whether it means I'm drowning my husband's ministry, whether it means I'm killing my own ministry, whether it means my future is not secure, that's not the issue. The issue is the well-watered garden. And I must have it at all costs. Whether it means breaking authority or rank in the church, I will encourage my husband to take it because it is well-watered and pleasant to the eyes. You Lot, God did not call you. God called Abraham. And God said to Abraham, go from your country, your kindred, and from your father's house to the land where I'll show you. And then Abraham said, come along. You were the only person, apart from his wife and what he owned, that he said, come along. You didn't know anything about God. You didn't know anything about where you were going. It's Abraham who took you on his wings to that place. And then when you got there, your uncle also allowed you to prosper. Allowed your giftings to come out. Allowed whatever God wanted to do. So now you had herdsmen and he had herdsmen. And you had sheep and he had sheep. And the Bible says that you had both increased so much that you couldn't dwell together because of the increase. And when Abraham says to you, let there be no strife, you are not the one who says let there be no strife. It doesn't occur to you. You are busy being a big man and a big woman. At all costs, you will kill anything to get. That's what Eve did. I don't care the destiny of man. I don't care what it means, whether it means cancer, HIV, divorce, death. I can't see that. I can see my desires. It's pleasant to the eyes. It's good. That's all I can see. I can't see beyond what. And Abraham, your old uncle, comes and says, let there be no strife between us. So you take what you want. And then I will take the rest. And you should say, oh, uncle, even my fare, you paid it. How can you now say that I should choose and then you will take anything? And even if that is not listened to, they say you should choose. Instead of choosing something less, being humble, you see, we lack humility. And covetousness lacks humility. In fact, covetousness is pride of life. Pride of life, who we are, our position, our honor. So when that happened, Abraham said, choose. And Lord didn't bat an eyelid. He said, I choose here. And it was everything. That is how much covetousness can drive us. We forget about principles. We forget about relationships. We forget about things that matter. And we go for what we want and what we desire. That's why we are able to break people's marriages. Wish them ill. Become some way. When the wife is hurting, I don't care. This is what I want. She can go to hell and back. I don't care. I will get what I want. Well watered, it looks. The Bible says, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked. You see, Christians walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Because if you walk by sight, you will never become what God wants you to become. I'm telling you. Because when I look back at how the church was at the school of hygiene, by sight, Oh, a church that people cannot pay tithe. The church, everybody is a student. And the students themselves, they are wahalaing seriously. Even the organ in the church, you have to buy it. You travel, you buy tambourine. You travel, you buy your little pocket money that your father will give you. That's what you use to pay the tithe to come. And then you use your little money to buy drinks to serve first timers, to make a tablecloth for the communion. You can't look at that and say that, oh, it's going to be a mega church. Mega church was even in the cathedral. But you can't look at that. And then when you look, all the people, the one who plays drums from Kolegono, no respectable person. And everybody, even the medical students, have gone to see the dean that he should close this church down. It's making noise. That's when this song came. Everybody says, tear that lighthouse down. You know, the big ships don't sail this way anymore. It was with that meaning that was adopted as the song for the church. You see, so and people used to say to me, how can you have a church? When you enter Kolebu, it's not just there. You go inside to the back and the back of the hostel. How will people even come? Somebody asked me that. And upstairs too. After we have gone now. There were no trappings of greatness around the church. So if you are going to look by sight, and even we hadn't seen church work being done before. So you can't say that, oh, I want to be like this. You see, when you've seen something before, it's encouraging. But when you haven't seen it before, it's not easy. It didn't look well watered at all. There was nothing to show you what will be, you know. And then that's why I think when I was going to get married, my parents were very worried. But even by that time, we felt that we had come to a glorious place. You see, God cannot explain to you his plans, his processes, his but disobedience aborts what he wants to do in your life. So like Lot, you know that you didn't come to the land. You were not the one who had been promised anything. And your uncle says there's strife. Even the reason why the decision is being taken is that there's strife. So choose. And then from there, I will know what to do. Then you just look and you say, I will cheat you. I will pull a fast one. I will never be disadvantaged. You will be disadvantaged. Always led by senses, eyes, delight, desire, pride of life. Every time, that's what leads you. Why can't we be led by the Holy Spirit? Why can't we be led by the Word of God? It's not always easy. I will not pretend. But if we have the heart that God knows best, and that there are many things we cannot see, it will help us to obey God. Hallelujah. If men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked, and you want to go and live in their midst, at any cost. You want anything at any cost. And when you go, then God says to Abraham, lift up your eyes from the north, the south, the east, the west, giving you all, including. And even this Sodom is Abraham's magnanimity and kindness that delivers you. Because war is waged against you. And Abraham has to take his army and come and get involved in fight, not his own. Because of your foolish decisions. And your decision was by what you saw. When he saw that the garden was well watered. And many of us women, our decisions are by our senses. Sensual decisions. Sensual decisions. How I feel. What I want. What I desire. What I think it will make me. Oh, if I do this, it will make me happy. You see, my husband doesn't make me happy. So if I do this and this and that, I'll be happy on my own. Our own methods. Our own ways of doing things. And that's what God is against. Amen.
You are listening to Honey on My Lips with Lady Reverend Adelaide Howard Mills. Stay tuned in. Welcome back.
The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Genesis chapter 25. The first one is the lust of the forbidden fruit, then the lust of fertile fields. Then this one is the lust of appetite. Genesis chapter 25, reading from verse 29. And when Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, please, let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished. Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, first swear to me. 33. And Jacob said, first swear to me. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. What makes you so hungry that you would trade anything to satisfy that hunger? He was famished. The devil always uses our hunger and our dissatisfaction to lure us into temptation. He used that with Jesus. Look, some of you, when you fast one day and it's 12 o'clock, you can't. But Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. You will be hungry. You will be famished, and you will not be thinking about stones. You will be thinking about bread. And Satan knows exactly what our hunger yearns to be satisfied with. And so he says that if you are the Son of God, command these stones. At that time, he didn't say to become houses, to become donkeys, to become, he knows what he said, to become bread. Because what you need, what your longing is for, what your flesh is craving for, is bread. And so he comes and says, oh, you are famished. It's been 40 days. Surely you don't have capacity to endure. And so turn these stones into bread if you are the Son of God. Why do I have to prove to you, Satan, that I'm the Son of God? Since when did I have a proof contest with you that I have to prove? When God has told me I'm the Son of God, why do I now have to battle about my identity with you? If you are, I should prove myself. And that's what Satan does. If you say you are a pastor, do this. If you say you are a lady pastor, show us. If you say you have a God, show us. If you say you are a child of God, show us. If you be the Son of God, command. He doesn't even say seal, command these stones. Say, he said, command these stones to become bread. And then Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. But many of us think that we live by bread alone. And the Bible says the lust of the world, all these things pass away. Quick gratification of our flesh. Immediate gratification, whether it's right, whether it's like, it's a desire. So let me just meet it. And Esau was like that. You are a firstborn. You've come from the field. You are very hungry. Jacob is cooking porridge. And then you ask for a swallow. That's what the New American Standard, a swallow. Something just to swallow. That's all. A swallow. And he says that, if I give you, you will sell me your birthright. And you don't even argue any further. You say, okay, because your birthright is nothing to you. Because your birthright is less important to you than that lust and desire you have. So you're standing with God, God's favor, the fear of God, all those things are secondary to your desires. Hallelujah. So then, when such things come, then we really see what our hearts are and what are really our priorities. We see it. Amen. Amen. So he just sold it. He said, oh, birthright, what is it? Firstborn. But to be a firstborn under the Jewish law came with so many things. And I believe that if he hadn't sold his birthright, he could still have had the porridge to eat. But the first request you just gave him. There was no argument, no begging, no. The first request, I have it. My being a child of God is nothing to me. My being a pastor's wife is nothing to me. My being a Christian is nothing to me. What is something to me is the lentil, the porridge you are giving me. The swallow is more important. May the Lord deliver us. The Bible says later he sought it with tears. You see, after that, he said, how did I get here? Why have I made such a decision? Many of us women are like that. Yeah. Proverbs 14:1 says that the wise woman builds with her hands, but the foolish tears down. Can you tear down? Tear down is also an effort too. And it's also a job, but we sit down and we tear down our lives. We tear down our marriages. We tear down our ministries. We tear down our husbands. We tear down our husband's ministry. And we forget that that is what we have a shelter under. And then when we have no shelter, we sit in the middle of the mess. We cry and we wonder how we got there. The foolish woman destroys with her hands. Her hands, oh, no other weapon. Her hands are okay. We are ending soon, don't worry. The lust of appetite. And then the lust of silver and gold. Joshua 7:21. The lust of silver and gold. Joshua 7. The lust of silver and gold.
This is about Israel. They've had a wonderful conquest of Jericho. The walls have come down. And Joshua says that anybody who builds or rebuilds Jericho will do so with his first child and all that. And then they go and fight the battle of Ai. And God says, when you go, don't take anything from the people. In Joshua 7:21, there's a man called Achan. And when they go, they are defeated. And Joshua doesn't understand. So many lives are lost in thousands. And Joshua comes to God and says, if you knew that we'll be defeated, why did you send us? And God shows him that somebody has done something I said they shouldn't do. Joshua 7:21, when I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it. Mercy. God said, do not bring anything from there. You have already conquered Jericho. You've taken the spoil. But this particular eye, I don't want you to take among it anything. And when I saw this scene, when I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar, beautiful lace from Switzerland, beautiful lace from London, a mantle, beautiful mantle from Shinar, beautiful cloth from GTP, I decided I'll get it at all costs. Beautiful mantle. You see, Satan will not bring things that are not beautiful. It will not appeal to you. He has to bring something that you find beautiful, something that you find desirable. So when Achan saw among the spoil the beautiful mantle from Shinar, he said, my God. And they said, I also saw silver. And I saw a bar of gold, 50 shekels. And I looked at it. I said, is this what God says we should turn our backs on? Is this what he says we should leave? This God, he doesn't know life. And so I'll take it, but no one will know. I'll conceal it in the earth under my tent. And that's how the covetous spirit is. It's concealed. And so you may have something, but nobody knows that it was through covetousness. Or you may be concealing something, and I mean, you can lead praise and worship powerfully. We won't know, because it's hidden under the earth of your tent. We'll go to battle as if we are all the same, and we wouldn't know. Why do you think Joshua will allow Achan to lead his tribe? Because he doesn't know. It's not something that is seen. It's like pride. It's not easily seen. That's what the sins in the flesh, fornication, lying, some things are evident. But most of our Christian sins, they are hidden. And that's why God is the best judge. Because God judges us by the reins of the heart, the Bible says. So Achan takes it and covers it with the earth in his tent. And he looks like we all look the same. And we all look like we are all going to battle. And we all look like we are all interested in spiritual things. But when it comes to the crunch, some of us would take something not belonging to us and hide it in the earth underneath the tent. But God revealed it. Even Joshua did not receive word of knowledge about it. He was rather blaming God. Now, if you know that you will not help us win, why do you send us on such a journey? Why do you make us whatever? And then God said, really? One of you has sinned greatly. And you know one lesson I learned from that? Achan sinned, but he didn't die on the battlefield. The 22 or so thousand, they rather died. So every time I'm praying, I say, God, may not be. Leadership will commit something, and then other people will suffer for it. So because of that, I pray for leadership that will be well with all of us. Amen. Amen. Because Achan had done it, but I mean, nobody knew. But so many people were slaughtered on that day. So as for sin, it's personal, but a certain level is corporate. Amen. And when God said that they brought Achan out, when they brought him out, they brought his wife. And when they brought his wife, they brought his children. And they killed all of them. So I've come to say, I was telling Bishop that in the Bible, whenever I read, it's always when the man was brought out, his wife and children were also brought. Like Nadab and Abihu, when they disobeyed, and then the earth opened and swallowed all of them. So I've come to see that the first point of attack for the enemy is wife and children.
That's right.
It's wife and children, more than, you know, a corporate body. No. It's wife and children, whatever they add them. Come and stand there with wife and children, women and children. Always. The lust of silver and gold led Achan. Such as the lust of silver and gold helps, leads us to give bad advice to our spouses. It brings strife in the church because we want something somebody has, which is not ours. And this one, God has clearly told you, it's not yours. Don't touch it. But because it's not seen, we play around it. It's in our hearts, it's in our heads, it's in our desires. It's not seen. So it's like, oh, we can just flow. But I think that it affects the flow of God's anointing. Amen. And for that to even bring death in the camp of Israel, it makes me fear. And I think that's why David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Because there are hidden things in the tent that only God knows about. Amen. The lust for women or men. 1 Kings chapter 11. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women. Verse 4. For it came about when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter. So these ones, they're there, but along the others. Solomon saw God twice. Solomon, God spoke to him face to face. He asked for God's wisdom, and it was evident he had it. He's somebody who slaughtered 1,000 sheep to the glory of God when he was dedicating the temple. The Queen of Sheba came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. All the kingdoms round about him were subdued. But he loved something he didn't have. He had a wife, but he wanted wives. Along. Ammonites, Edomites, Moabites, all of them. Mixture. And my problem is, you know, sometimes when you are coming and you know that you are number 4, why do you keep coming? Number 5, why do you think you are special? Number 200. Why will it stop with you? That thing is a nature. It was a training motion before you came. So why do you think that you are so loved that as you come in as number 5, it's going to be special? It's not so. It's a delusion. But we fall for it fully. Solomon had really had a real encounter with God. But he had an evil desire for something he didn't have. He had everything, but he didn't have as many wives. Amen. And God told him, in the day that you marry from here, your heart will turn away. And he sold his faith. He sold his devotion. You see, desires can drive you. Desires can drive you. And anything that drives you is an idol. And anything that is an idol has taken the place of God. And John writes, said, my little children, beware of idols. He was writing to believers. Because we create idols out of what we think we lack, like Eve. If I do this, I will have this. If I do this, I will have this. If I admire this one, it will be this way. If I admire this, how? How can you tell? But Satan has to play all these games with us so that we'll believe it. The Lord is delivering us. Amen. Amen. You are not Solomon. You have not met God twice. You have not been given wisdom and all this. You have not offered an offering that smoke came and the priest could not stand to minister. You haven't. And yet, and Solomon had everything. But one thing he couldn't have was strange women, strange people from other places. God told him. But every time you leave what you have and you go after what you think you don't have. And in the end, you lose everything. The last of ambition, the last one. Mark 10:35. And James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to him, saying to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant that we may sit in your glory, one on your right and one on your left. Grant. We are 12 disciples. And Jesus chose all of us. But you want to strive for position. And you want to strive for power. And you want to strive for a place of, I don't know how to say it, a place where you will be seen. So it's like, okay, maybe I can't have your seat, but I can have left or right. Position. The lust for position. And it worries us in the church of God. The lust of position makes us cut people down so that we can go up. The lust of position makes us sell our own brothers and sisters so that we can go up. The lust of position makes us say even nice things are not good. Talk about somebody's ministry. Talk about what somebody is doing. Just so that you will feel that you are also coming up. But who told you that when you put somebody down, you come up? It's the Lord who sets up and the Lord who pulls down. Hallelujah. And we are so position conscious. That's why when we are not treated properly, we say we are leaving the church. Because we are so worked up about who we are. And what we are. And what we stand for. If it were offense, I would not be a member of this church anymore. I have had so many opportunities to be offended. And I keep telling you, if you want to be in the ministry, or you, if you want to have an opportunity to be offended, come into the ministry. You will have a lot of opportunity to be offended. They didn't call me. They didn't tell me. They left me out. I didn't know. How come? Am I important? How come they are doing a program? I don't know. I've come into many things by surprises. Grant that we will sit to the left and to the right. You know, grant that I'll be on stage. You see, they know I'm the leader. They wouldn't tell me. They are now calling people under me to do. Oh, I have a feeling that everything you have experienced, I've experienced before. And it's no big deal. Amen. So many things, they will forget you. They won't tell you. They won't inform you. But you can't use that to determine your importance. Or to determine your worth. You cannot build a mountain around this thing. And make a shrine and an altar out of it. Amen. The Bible says it is the honor of a king to overlook a matter. Overlook. But all that we know is forgiveness. But we don't know endurance. How to, some things, they don't go away. You stand them. You stand. You endure. It's not everything that goes away. There are things you stand and go through them. Amen. The Bible says stand fast in your liberty. And it says he that endureth to the end. Enduring is putting up with something. It doesn't just go. It's enduring. When you are so obsessed with who you are, what your benefits should be, how you should be treated, what should come to you, you will never do well in the kingdom of God. But if you know there's God who honors, and it's God who blesses, and it's God who gives, you will start looking to man, you stop looking to man for honor, titles, position. But when God lifts you up, you are really, really, really lifted up. Hallelujah. When God lifts you up in ministry or anything, you are truly lifted up by God. And you will know that this one is not your effort. See, 2 years ago, I was invited to Malaysia to go and speak on Mother's Day. I knew that it wasn't my effort. I hadn't done anything, whatever. And when I went and I preached, it was a Sunday. The associate pastor came and said, oh, Lady Pastor Adelaide, I thought that it would be an encouragement for you to know that all our messages are sold out from the preaching. I just wanted you to know that this is what has happened in our church and we are very excited about it. You know, but you don't have to go and say, let me see if I'm going to be popular. Let me see if it's going to work. Just do what the master sent you to do and leave the results to him. Whether the people are happy, whether they think it's good, whether it's immaterial, you have done your work as a servant. That's all. And God will use the rest to bless you. You will never know the extent of what you are doing till you get to heaven. But I think that God sends these things to sort of keep me going and to encourage me and to strengthen my hands. Every time I am discouraged, I will receive a text or an email from somewhere without telling God or anybody that I'm discouraged. God will always bring something to tell me that it's good, continue, go on. And I'm still getting mail like that. And even it's not everybody who will send you mail like that. But you just, the person, I want to tell you that this is a very vital ministry. And I want you to personally be involved and mother me. That's one, two, it's another. And mother me personally. I say, hey, how will I do that? Do you see? So, but things that people strive for, they want to have a name. They want to do. They want to. It just comes by the grace of God. And I think it's from not striving to be somebody, but just striving to be who God has made you. And always ensuring that your heart is correct. Because so many things will come to change it. You will be tempted so many times. But if you allow the Holy Ghost to continually cleanse your heart, He will bring you into places you have not arranged for yourself. He will bring you into promotions you have not asked Him for, even in a prayer topic. I've never prayed that God lift me up, put me down, put me right, put me left. It does not, it's not part of my. But I just pray, Lord, use me. If you can use anything, use me. And He does in fantastic ways, fantastic ways. The last time I was in America, the blessing I had just from people, see, my life has been touched. My life, I said, hey, I haven't seen this before. How did God do it? How did He bring me to this place where I'm standing? I don't know. But your own effort, it will get you there, but it will not put you there for long. God says, come to Him without sweat. It's our effort and our striving. May we be delivered from the spirit of covetousness. May we be delivered from what we see enticing us and driving us. And may that calmness that comes from just being still within. You know, the Bible says, in quietness and in confidence shall your strength be. May we learn to be quiet and not be shaken and run by our desires. And I trust that the Lord will do just that.
It was great having you today. To find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward Mills, please visit the Vision Bookshop at the Kodesh, North Kanishi, or meet her on Facebook at Reverend Mrs. Adelaide Heward Mills. For prayer and counseling, please call 0243 187900. You can also drop us an email at honeyonmylips@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, God richly bless you.